With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I want to talk mock drafts. Connor Livesey from the 33rd team. We talk to Trey Wingo all the time from 33rd team, 33rdteam.com, a great source of NFL news and information. He joins us on the Adam Gold Show. Mr. Livesey, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. I'm really excited to be on you guys today.
Well, thank you very much. I want to this is where I want to start with the mock draft. I am curious. Are we really doing the Jaden Daniels over Drake May thing already? Like, doesn't it take usually like 2 months to get to that?
It normally does. I'll speak for myself first because it is a question that's going to get proposed a lot here coming up. But I actually think Drake May is the top quarterback in this draft class. we're still a ways away from, you know, given the solidified rankings and all that stuff. But early on in this process, I have Drake May at 1, Caleb Williams at 2, and Jaden Daniels at 3. So, yes, I do think the, you know, Jaden Daniels talk of going ahead of Drake May, and, you know, some people were even talking about being ahead of Caleb Williams right now, it's kind of crazy to me. But it's early on, and we always get the early season jitters, I feel like, in the mock draft world and draft world. You know, once the playoffs come around, it seems like everyone has a hot take and they want to get it out there.
Normally it takes like 2 months before we get to the we've talked ourselves out. You know, Drake didn't do well against these teams and Carolina fell apart late and all that. I want to go through those first two anyway. What is Caleb Williams to you? Is a good comp for him? And I'm not saying he's going to be as good, but is his style similar to that of a Patrick Mahomes?
I mean, I get the comparison to that because some of the off platform, you know, out of structure throws, you know, the crazy arm angles, all that stuff. I mean, really the way I kind of look at Caleb Williams, and I'm not comparing him directly to it, but it's kind of the Josh Allen effect where he'll make some of the dumbest, most boneheaded plays you'll see, and then he'll come back and just be absolutely nails, you know, game-winning drives. And it's some of that where it's like he creates off structure a ton, which we see Josh Allen do a ton in Buffalo. He's not like the super speedy athletic quarterback, but he's able to make a lot of plays with his legs. Bigger guy, the arm talent's obviously all there. But I just think the inconsistency with Caleb Williams right now is kind of why I'm giving the slight edge to Drake May. And again, we still have a ton of tape to watch, a ton of, you know, combine numbers to take into account here coming up. But just you see so much high with Caleb Williams, and then you do see some low lows. And that lack of consistency is, I think, something that can be concerning to teams trying to find that top guy in the NFL draft, especially with a quarterback class that is more talented than we've seen over the last few years.
Connor Livesey from 33rd Team at Connor NFL Draft on Twitter covers the draft. Also covers the Dallas Cowboys. I'd love to get a couple of things in about Dallas as we get into the playoffs starting tomorrow. But when you see Drake May and you say right now you've got him slightly ahead of Caleb Williams and obviously Jaden Daniels as well, what is his comp? What do you see as his best traits?
I mean, I think I'll get to the comp last here, but I think with Drake May, and I don't know why that is, but everyone seems to kind of give Caleb Williams the edge from like the athleticism and, you know, off platform, out of structure, mobility standpoint. And I think anybody who watches and dives into Drake May's tape, he's a super athletic. Yeah. He makes plays with his legs all the time. He's a really good runner of the football. From the quarterback position, which is just something that I don't think he gets enough credit for in this process. You don't see him. I guess maybe Caleb Williams' highs are maybe a little higher. Like Caleb Williams might have that higher ceiling to him, but I feel like Drake May has a little safer aspect to him. And I think that matters. I mean, you obviously you're always looking for that high ceiling when you're drafting a quarterback that high. But I think, you know, you've seen so many of these top quarterbacks bust at the top because you're betting solely on the higher ceiling traits and not looking at the whole picture. So that's kind of why I'm separated with those two right now, with Drake May having the slight edge. Like I said, there's so much more tape to watch. You know, I'm about three or four games into each of those guys. I like to get to about 6 to 7. You know, going back another year or two as well. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just, I mean, again, like he has some of that arm talent, the accuracy, the ability to drive the football on all three levels of the field, and then just the ability to create off script with his legs. I think that May has the, you know, might not have the highest ceiling of the group, but I think his floor is significantly higher than Williams. And then when you take into account the aspects of his high ceiling traits, it makes him a guy that's really tough not to really like at the top of the draft. I know you asked for a comp. I'm not a good comp guy. I'm not going to lie to you. But, I mean, any of, you know, you look at some of these guys, you know, in the playoffs, you know, I hate to compare him to this guy because he's kind of lost some of his athleticism. And you mentioned that, you know, I do some Cowboys coverage. But some of the stuff that Dak Prescott does, you know, off script this year specifically, you know, since he's gotten healthy, just being able to get out of the pocket, create with his legs, you see some of that in Drake May's game. And he's not the guy that has, like, the elite of the elite arm talent. He doesn't have that Caleb Williams just, you know, power of an arm. But he's able to drive the football on all three levels of the field. He's able to throw with touch. He's able to throw off platform and off script. So you see that stuff with Dak a lot, too. And I think that, you know, what he used to be with his mobility and his legs, you see some of that in Drake May's game a lot.
Connor Livesey from 33rd Team NFL Draft Expert. All right, so Jaden Daniels is probably going to be a top five pick. May and Williams will likely go one and two in some order. What about other quarterbacks in the first round? Are there other first round talents, or are there guys who are going to also go in the first round because they're quarterbacks?
You nailed it on the second point there. I don't see any other guys with first round grades from me. You know, we're still waiting to hear what Michigan's J.J. McCarthy is going to do, whether he's going to declare or go back to school. If I was him, I'd probably go back to school at this point. But he's riding high coming off a national championship. So, you know, you never know. And again, you talked about it. That quarterback tax is legit. It's something that you have guys who are, you know, second round, mid-second round, even late second round grades. And then you get, you know, to the back into the first round, and some of the team, you know, we'll see what happens here with the Miami Dolphins. You'll see what happens, you know, with the Denver Broncos. You know, some of those teams that are picking middle to the back end of the first round, do they go, hey, we don't, you know, we had our top graded player get taken right in front of us. Let's get J.J. McCarthy. Let's grab a Bo Nix. You know, a guy like that. Like I said, I wouldn't do that. I think that, you know, you have your four, you know, Michael Penix is a guy who I think has a really good shot to get drafted in the first round. He didn't end the season the way that he was hoping for his quarterback rankings. But
it is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I think when you look at the big picture with Michael Penix, he had a really good season. Older prospect, you know, had some injury stuff, some medical stuff he's got to get figured out. But I think when you're looking for a guy to win in the pocket, you know, you've got to be able to win in the pocket, you know, nowadays. And he's able to do that at Washington. He's got a good arm. He's more athletic than he's given credit for in the pocket, with ability to kind of evade pressure. He struggles kind of reading the pressure, but the ability to get away from it and kind of get on platform to throw from pressure, I think something he can do a good job with. I think Penix is kind of the top guy that might not be a first-round quarterback, but could get drafted in the first round. And I think you got to throw the J.J. McCarthy and Bo Nix in there as well, even though I don't have them. I think Penix is in a class of his own there between those guys, where it's like, hey, I probably won't have a first-round grade on Michael Penix. It'll probably be a second-round grade. But a team that's picking in the 20s or, you know, late teens might go, hey, this guy's got, you know, enough traits that we want to build on and develop on and take him in the first round.
Yeah, teams, NFL franchises can't help themselves. If yeah, they just can't. It's been going on for about a decade at this point. They can't help themselves. Connor Livesey from 33rd Team. Real quick before I ask you about a couple of playoff matters, just looking at the latest, and it wasn't yours. It was somebody else's mock draft on 33rd Team. So many offensive linemen in this draft. So
absolutely.
Either this is just an incredible draft of offensive linemen, or teams are likely to be drafting for need as opposed to the best players available, or it's just not a great draft. So what is it?
The offensive line talent in this class is very, very good, and I think similar to what we just talked about, you know, there's a quarterback tax and there's an offensive line tax because there is a ton of bad offensive linemen in the NFL.
Yes.
So anytime you have a guy that's quality, has the, you know, arm length, has the athleticism, you kind of give them a nudge in the rankings like you do your quarterbacks. And like I said, this class is very talented. The interior of this class isn't great. The interior offensive line class isn't great, but the tackles are deep at the top. They're deep throughout. I mean, you'll be able to find starting caliber offensive tackles in this class, you know, in the second, you know, maybe even third round this year, which is, you always hit on a couple guys on day three, but it seems like you normally run out of starting caliber tackles, you know, in the second round. But I think this one stretches pretty good. And it's also really good at the top. You have Joe Alt and Olo Fashanau, the two guys from Notre Dame and Penn State, kind of at the top.
Mm-hmm.
Telly Fuega out of Oregon State, J.C. Latham's out of Alabama, Amarius Mims out of Georgia. There's four or five just guys who I think are locks to get drafted in the first round. And then you get into your Graham Bartons out of Duke, your Tyler Guyton's out of Oklahoma, Patrick Paul out of Houston, James Morgan. I mean, there's a legit 9-10 guys that could, and I think have a really good shot of going in the first round of this draft, which just speaks to the volume and the depth of this offensive line class.
All right, final thing. Let's do a little bit about the playoffs here. Did Dallas get the most favorable draw they could? I mean, Green Bay has been good, but I think they've been good to a point. What do you like about the Cowboys matchup with Green Bay?
I would have, as a Cowboys fan and somebody who covers the team and, you know, studies them, I would have loved to play Tampa Bay at home. And that was kind of the issue, is that you weren't going to get them at home.
Right.
So I think with the aspect of them getting the number two seed, not being able to get a Tampa Bay, you know, with them winning the division at home, I mean, you can make the case that Philadelphia would have been a good opponent now, too, with how banged right. up they are and how much they've been reeling over the last couple weeks. But I hate playing division opponents in the playoffs because you just never know with divisional opponents,
right.
you know, the common opponents that might have an edge on you. You gotta like the matchup from a aspect of, you know, Green Bay's a super young team. You know, they haven't played a lot of playoff games, especially when you're talking about the area of their team that's been so good for them, which has been their offense. You know, you got a situation where the quarterback's, you know, not a rookie, but he's pretty much a rookie heading into the playoffs.
Yeah.
Their passing game weapons, you know, their receivers, their tight ends are all super young guys. Christian Watson's been banged up all year. Romeo Doubs, Dontavian Wicks. I mean, a lot of their outlets in their passing game are either rookies or young players who haven't played a lot. And then their tight ends are always super young. I think for Dallas, the main aspect is slowing down the Green Bay running game. Matt LaFleur is a guy who has beat the Cowboys in the past with running the football with Aaron Jones a ton. And while there's a notion out there that the Cowboys' run defense is just absolutely horrible, they had a terrible game against Buffalo. There's no denying it. James Cook ran all over them. But when you look at the whole season as a whole, they've been about middle of the pack stopping the run.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if they can slow down Aaron Jones and the Packers' running game, I think they have a good shot to maybe have some of the Packers, you know, youth about them kind of catch up and you know, kind of hit that regression button in the playoffs, which – it's hard to rely on that because you've seen so many young teams do well in the playoffs. I mean, San Francisco, outside of Brock Purdy getting hurt last year, was looking like a dominant force going into the playoffs. But you think that the Green Bay regression would probably come sooner rather than later with them going in the playoffs with such young options at quarterback, wide receiver, you know, some of the offensive linemen are getting young too. So, I think it's a good matchup for Dallas. They match up pretty well with those guys. You know, CeeDee Lamb and Dak Prescott have really connected well in the passing game. They don't run the ball great, but Green Bay run defense has been an issue over the last month or so of the season. So maybe they can get the running game going a little bit, but I think the passing game options for Dallas match up really well with the Green Bay pass defense options.
Final thing, real quick. Road team in week one that could be playing a third game.
The Los Angeles Rams.
Yep.
I feel like that's an easy answer. I feel like that's probably everybody's answer. But, I mean, it's not going to stun me at all to see the Rams, you know, go into Detroit this week. And I don't know. The Detroit's such an interesting team because you watch them some weeks and they look like a dominant NFC yep. team. Then you watch them some weeks and go, is this team even that good? And it's just, you know, the Detroit defense has been horrendous here recently, and the Los Angeles Rams offense has been awesome. So it's kind of a bad matchup for Detroit going into this week. And then obviously if they win, they would head to San Francisco. And we just talked about playing divisional teams in the playoffs, and we saw, you know, those backup teams last week, but the Rams able to squeak out a victory. So you get that matchup in the second round with the Rams and the 49ers. You know, it wouldn't surprise me at all to see Sean McVay and Matt Stafford pull out an upset victory. And then, you know, good news for the Cowboys. If they're able to handle their business, they would have an NFC championship game at home against the Rams. So that would bode well for me being a Cowboys guy. But, yeah, I think the Rams are the best option to probably make that third playoff game.
Connor Livesey from 33rd Team at Connor NFL Draft on Twitter. Thanks, man. I appreciate your time. We'll do it again.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.